Today, the Gator is sitting down with Mr. Nudell to discuss with him a little bit about the beginning of the school year, how everything's going.
Thanks. Hi, Chloe. How are you?
I'm good. Excited to chat today just about some curriculum, academic questions, school as a whole. How do you feel the start of the year has gone?
I've been really excited about the start of the year. I've been telling people that ask me what's different this year than last year, previous years. And I feel like this is the first year since COVID that it's totally in the rear view mirror and we're not thinking about it. And it doesn't feel like there's any disaster planning happening.
Yeah,
and I know
so
other,
nice.
Right. And so I think it's like, we're not like worrying about what ifs. Even last year, even though we had really turned the page on COVID, there still felt like there were these remnants of it. And we were doing things for the first time since COVID. And it just feels like we're just doing school again, which is just nice.
I definitely agree. Like coming into high school, my freshman year was just kind of like trying to make in-person learning work with like getting over COVID. And I know we couldn't go to camp. And I think we were wearing masks still freshman year, like half of the year, especially. It was, we had the, do we have the later start?
Maybe
the year before.
Maybe the year before.
There was definitely some other components that I feel like are gone now, which is really nice to like kind of
start. That was kind of nice, I have to say. Yeah,
I know. But definitely feels like we're definitely over the hump with COVID, which is nice. Are there any, I mean, I know, like you said, kind of new chapter for us, any main academic goals during the school year? Or I know we have obviously the new theme, the ABC. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Jackson 5.
Oh, yeah.
There. I think, you know, authentic learning, bold thinking, compassionate community. You know, I think that some people have jumped to the conclusion that authentic learning is really about AI, which I don't really, I would say some work that we're doing as a faculty and staff around AI is not really, there's certainly this avenue of like wanting student work to be their work and wanting to know what their voice is. But I also, you know, I have a lens that, and I always look towards the future for like what people are going to need and what are students going to need when they go to college and beyond college and with skills, is that AI is just, it's here and every day it's getting better and it's getting more and more integrated into everything that we do. And so I think there needs to be both this parallel path of like, yes, we want our students to be learning and learning skills and information, but just like, you know, for those of us that have been around for a little bit, just like when Google started to really become like the go-to place to find things, right? We had to start teaching differently because knowing information wasn't as important of like learning how to access information. And AI is very similar, right? So we need people, we need kids to develop their own voice and their own understanding and knowledge. But we also need, I think authentic learning also means like what is authentic and needs to happen learning for today in preparation for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And part of that when it comes to AI is actually like, how do you utilize this in a way as a companion to your work? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's some really cool things happening. Like
I know like sometimes like if I'm struggling like study for a quiz or a test, you can type in like create a study guide or like ways to like, it is really helpful other than, I think there's definitely a way to take advantage of it in the long run. I definitely agree with you. And I think adding on to that, there are so many new courses too. And I feel like teachers also are navigating it just as much as students are. So yeah, I think definitely using AI to your advantage, something about authentic learning.
Yeah. So more to come on that. I think we'll see where things are. So I think Mr. Ware is doing some super cool things in his programming class where students are engaging with AI almost as like as an editor and collaborator, where they ask, like they have it checked for different things or check the program they're writing or ask for feedback or things like that. I think another cool thing that students aren't always thinking about is, let's say you're preparing for a debate. Clearly you have to go with like what your teachers are saying is okay, but you could ask AI to engage in a debate through like ChatGPT's, like you can use You can do it through literally as a voice, right? You can use the voice function in ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And you could engage in a debate and ask it to play the role of Thomas Jefferson, as if you're debating, like, you know, whether, you know, whether or not the US, you know, the colonies should like sign a Declaration of Independence, right? Or things like that. You could actually go in and have it take on the role. And that's where AI, I think, becomes much more sophisticated than just asking it to check something.
This, yeah.
You could actually like deepen your understanding and ask it to act in as a character or as a person from history, and engage with that person in some type of dialogue as preparation for work that you might be doing, which is different than anything else you could possibly imagine ever doing, right?
Yeah.
You could never actually have a conversation with George Washington.
But I mean, that would be cool, but unfortunately. I think I'm definitely excited to see like where it takes us for the rest of the year. I know we're in October.
Yeah.
And the B and the C.
The B and the C.
Can't forget about the B and the C.
Can't think of forget. I think I'll jump to the C.
Okay.
I think compassionate community, really, we're coming. I think we've seen the world is just really subdividing, right? And people find their tribes in a lot of ways. And then social media reinforces like your way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the hope is around compassionate community as we're entering an election year, obviously, where there's a lot of division and a lot of sort of elevated talk and different world politics, is that the hope is that we can be engaged in civil discourse and can listen to what other people are, even if there aren't agreements around it, or even if there are disagreements around ideas, to engage in dialogue in a compassionate way where you are hearing what someone else is saying, not necessarily agreeing with it, but you can engage in a dialogue that's not about like butt plugging and saying like, well, I just think you're silly for saying that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can sort of have more of, and we're an academic institution, so we should be able to engage in sort of intellectual conversation. So I think that's a bit where the compassionate comes in.
I think it's really important that you highlight like everything going on right now, because I think when I think of compassionate community, I always like, oh, like Brimmer is such a nice community. It's also a small community, so I feel like I know everyone, like obviously kind to everyone, but really making sure you understand where people are coming from and respecting what they believe, because there is lots of civil discourse.
Sometimes I share the story about how I heard this story once about how someone was driving and they were driving super crazy and like people were getting really angry, honking at the person. And then it comes out later on that somebody who was in the traffic that had like been impacted by this person, they got to the hospital and found out that this person was rushing to the hospital because their child was being put into surgery.
Yeah.
And they were just trying to get there, right? And so that's kind of like an extreme view, but I think we don't always know what's happening in someone's mind.
Yeah, what other people are,
what people are going through or doing, and sometimes just like maybe taking a step back and having empathy for that moment, right? Around like maybe there's something happening that's causing that person to react in that way. And it's not really about me or other things. It's really about like what's happening.
What's going on in their world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And bold thinking.
We skip the B. So
we skip the B.
ACB.
Because the B is the best. And we always want to come back to it.
Last.
That's why the best rod. You know, I think it's really about, you know, coming up with ideas and not just like thinking outside the box. You know, we have great classes here, which are forcing people to be creative around that. And then I think also I talked a little bit to the new students at orientation and to the faculty also about being comfortable with the uncomfortable. And I think part of bold thinking is pushing yourself beyond what you think you're capable of doing, right? Coming up with new ideas, trying new things. And so I think that boldness really comes from like stepping out of the status quo a little bit. And, you know, I think we have a really ambitious class of 12th graders this year. The class of 2025, very ambitious. And they've set some really high sort of lofty goals for themselves, whether it's with college or with academics. Some students are taking more than the number of AP classes that might generally recommended. But they all came, you know, to have conversations about that in ways in which they really wanted to try it and to push themselves for it. And in those cases, we don't want to tell somebody like, no, we don't believe in you, you can't do it. We want to have a conversation with them and think about like where the pressure points might be, how might they be coming up with, you know, what's going to be an impact on the other parts of their lives. And, you know, in most of those cases, students have kind of said like, this is, I want to do this and I want to try it. And I think I can handle it. And so why not give kids a chance to try that and to be bold there? Yeah. And if they sort of stumble, at least they're still here, like in our caring, compassionate community. That can
hide it all in there.
I did. That that can really help them like in those moments.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think like touching on what you said about, you know, I know my class of 12th graders, it's crazy. Like some people taking five APs, like so many of my classmates barely have freeze. Yeah. And it's really like, I think to myself, my goodness, like, how is this happening? But also like, I kind of look at my class and I'm like, wow, I'm like, look at us go. I'm proud of us. And I know that kind of leading into that, a lot of AP courses are stacked to the brim. I know AP Human Geo, there's 21 people in that. That's a new course too.
Yeah, that's a brand new course. I think there's a lot. I think what happened there was people didn't want to say no to people. So that course is definitely higher than we ever really want to have in a course. But because it was brand new, it's a lot of 12th graders that wouldn't get to take it.
Yeah.
And 11th, it's all 11th and 12th graders. And we're just trying to figure out what to do. But I do think that speaks to the desire for Brimmer students to have AP classes in the humanities outside of like English. And I think that's something that we've grappled with for a really long time around like, what should we be doing? And I think this is kind of like a case of what we've offered it, you know, people signed up for it and we said no to a lot more. We said no to a lot more people to be in that class. I don't think, you know, I think I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I don't know if we have more like AP seats this year.
Okay.
You know, we always kind of like calculate.
Because there have always been two AP Lit classes, which I thought was strange because last year I don't think there were a lot of people anymore.
Sometimes there are two, sometimes there's one. We've had three AP Lane classes some years. Last year we had three, right? So sometimes we split it into two, just not necessarily because there's so many kids that it can needs to get split into two, but in order to make other parts of the schedule work out, sometimes we have to offer two. So that's not unusual, particularly a year where there's been three to have two.
We also have a big class.
There's a bigger class too. So a couple of years ago when we had the 48 student 12th grade, what was that? The class of
23.
So they had similar type of pieces. And it kind of comes and goes. And we
make it work to the student.
Make our way. We want to sort of offer as much as we can offer for students. There was a couple of years where we had two sections of, I think, AP Math or AP Micro because we had enough students signing up for that.
Yeah.
That's not the case this year, but that was the case for what we had a couple of years where that was the case also.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to kind of like, since we are such a small student body, to like also kind of like cater to what people want. So that makes a lot of sense.
I guess if I could add, I think we have a bunch of students taking a lot of AP classes this year. I think we also have students that are taking that aren't sort of over-prescribing in AP classes or electives, but are using their time in other ways that they're really passionate about or have decided to really dig into. They're not stretching themselves out in other ways. Maybe they're involved in multiple sports or they're really getting, they have outside jobs or doing other things that they're really passionate about. That'll all come through the college process too.
I agree. I definitely agree. Lastly, I want to ask you about the phone policy, because I know you guys have been cracking down on that. Yeah. How do you feel like it's going?
So I think the dispelling around sort of, so there was lots of stuff that came out in the springtime, particularly around the book, The Anxious Generation, that became like an automatic New York Times bestseller. And then, when we started looking, there was like knee-jerk reactions to like, what should we be doing about phones and things like that? And lots of schools were putting in policies. we kind of took a step back and we also looked at what else was being said. And there was actually some good academic criticism of that particular book that the findings that it had maybe were more biased than other sort of research would say. And so we kind of stepped back and said, listen, we're a high school. Our students are going to be going off to college, right? At some point, you need to figure out how to
Take account
manage
of, yeah,
your
I
phone,
agree.
right? It makes sense for the lower school to have a rule and the middle school to have its own rule and for the upper school to have its own rule. So our rule is no different than it's ever been. I think during COVID, we got really lax with it because people were so connected. Your phones became like your lifeline, right? You needed the only way you could communicate with people and see people was through your phone, right? And so you were in your house, you couldn't go anywhere. And so I think it just took some time. And again, I think it goes back to like finally being done with COVID, right? We just don't want phones coming out in classes because it's distracting.
It's disrespectful to
It's
you, I feel like.
disrespectful to the teacher, but it's also just distracting, right? And we also don't want teachers like answering people's phones, like because when they ring and things like that, it's also like
Awkward.
that's awkward. And sometimes somebody calls that you didn't, you're like, oh, wait a second, that should not really, that's private, not public. But
Definitely.
I think when I've been in classes, I've seen students more engaged and just focused versus sort of like sneaking phones under the tables. And I think the fact of the matter is that teachers knew, and we had teachers that had these that were doing this already that were being really successful with it. So we just kind of
Enforced
made
it.
it, we made it sort of like the baseline for everyone.
It makes
So it
sense.
wasn't kind of like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm frustrated that the students are doing this. And so we just kind of have said, this is the baseline is like, just shouldn't have your phone, just like you shouldn't be in a meeting at work, like on your phone texting or checking things because
Definitely.
you don't want to lose your job and that's disrespectful. When you're in class, you should be focused on what's happening in class. We can't control necessarily everything. I walk into classrooms and I see people doing things on their laptops. I don't know what you're doing on your laptop there right now, Chloe, but okay, but we're here. Focus on the conversation. But we just people are still doing things on their laptops they shouldn't do. We can't control every bit of it. But I think at least asking like that distraction to go away. And then I think the other pieces, there's such a feeling of missing out of what someone might be sending you that if you know your friends aren't able to snap you or do something else while you're in class, then maybe you're going to feel a little less anxious about
Missing out on
missing out on
something.
something because other people are in class.
I think that definitely makes sense just to make it an all around like base for the school. Like, because I feel like definitely, or like Mr. Barkrook, like he does the phone jail. And I know, like, walking to that room, I'm like, power my phone
I
off. So
prefer
I
phone
think
for
phone, it's a little bit more lighthearted. I kind of like the phone jail. I think it's really enforces the.
But how does it feel for you? Does it feel different this year or the same or
I think as you like, as it went freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, like it gets to a point where like you need to pay attention in class or else you're not going to do well. So I kind of know, like, even last year, I was like, all right, I need to pay attention. And I think that that's just kind of something you learn. But definitely having it there, it's a lot less tempting when your phone's up in that
And I
thing.
think that's a natural thing that we always talked about is that we just saw this just kind of naturally happened, right? Between ninth grade and 12th grade is that there was a different seriousness in which people were sort of like the material becomes harder. You need to focus more. Like
You can't really breeze through
you just kind of
anymore.
have to do it anyway. So,
Well, thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
talking with us
This was
and
fun.
discussing the ABCs and more. And good luck in managing the rest of the year. I hope the student body makes it pretty smooth for you.
Great. Let's do this again.
Yeah.